Now, in the video that Noel mentioned, the departing president called the attack on the Capitol heinous, but he did not mention his own role in citing that attack. He promised an orderly transition of power, so now we have his word on that. The word of a president who lied for months about his defeat. NPR's Hannah Lamb covers extremist groups like the extremists who raided the Capitol and told me how these groups are responding to the president's video.
There has been a shift. At first, there was a lot of celebration and bragging, but reactions did split somewhat after that condemnation video, with some feeling that the president had betrayed them. I want to play you a little bit of what Megan Squire has to say on this. She's a professor at Elon University in North Carolina who monitors far-right networks, and she says the reactions to the storming of the Capitol tend to fall into three categories. So first, there are the sympathizers.
They probably weren't there. They're all over social media and on regular media. These are the ones who are, you know, blaming Antifa. They're making up stuff about that this was a false flag.
And then there are the ones, she says, who were proud to have been there, who felt like they were part of a moment in history.
They are taking, you know, bounty shots, trophy pics, making memes, just talking it up.
And finally, she says there's the group that Squire usually studies, the hardcore white supremacists. She says they're thinking long term about how to exploit all this, use it for recruiting. And, you know, let's remember, many of these factions have been talking about violent uprisings like this for years.
Well, given that they have been talking for years, what's that say about authorities' preparedness for the threat of far-right extremism?
Yeah, I mean, if we think back to 2017, that deadly Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, that was a watershed moment in public awareness of the violent far right, which, you know, U.S. authorities say it's the deadliest and the most active domestic terrorism threat. But fast forward nearly 4 years, and some of the same white supremacist figures from Charlottesville were at the Capitol Wednesday, part of another violent mob. But this time, the traditional extremists were alongside more traditional conservative voters who've been radicalized by disinformation and conspiracy. So, you know, authorities have arrested more than 90 people. Federal authorities have charged at least 50. More are expected in this crowdsourcing effort to identify people. So there have been changes in how the authorities prioritize and investigate these crimes. But many analysts I talk to say there's still a long way to go. The Trump administration has routinely played down this threat to focus on their favorite recent targets, activist movements like Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Oh, well, that brings up the contrast people have noticed between police confrontations with Black Lives Matter and the much more, shall we say, restrained police approach to this mob.
That's right. It's a central criticism. Ashley Howard is an assistant professor of history and African-American studies at the University of Iowa. And she says what happened Wednesday wasn't an aberration, but part of a pattern of responses to white mob violence.
The terror that we see here and the lack of response in this, or equivalent response, once again, really highlights that crisis just brings out things we already know about this country. It amplifies the trends and the themes and the narratives of American history.
So yes, we're seeing arrests and condemnation, but there are still critical questions about whether the longtime minimizing of right-wing violence paved a way for the shocking security lapse we saw this week.
NPR's Hannah Lamb, thanks.
Thank you.